host, Thomas H. McCarthy. It is H, isn't it? Thomas H. McCarthy.
All right. I just started recording, but I'm going to cut this little part out.
All right.
Okay. You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Tom's 2 Cents Podcast, episode 2. Welcome back. We're sitting here again with Dan Milgate. We're
going to
finish off where we left off here. We only got half of the NFL done last episode. This is a little long time coming, but we're going to dip into the NFC now.
Let's do it.
So we'll start off right away with the NFC East. I'll just go over what I have right now. I have the Eagles first, Giants second, Cowboys third, and Redskins fourth. I guess I'll start with the Eagles first, why I think they're going to be first. They just won Super Bowl 52 earlier this year in February. Well, it's kind of cheating, but they already beat the Falcons on Thursday.
Yeah, it was a ugly game.
Yeah, we're recording this right before week one, by the way, so who knows what's going to happen today. I might be completely wrong in these predictions.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, if I have the Giants second, they totally shit the bed week one. Well, they're against the Jaguars, so who knows, they might shit the bed. Okay, so last year, they were third in rushing. The Philadelphia Eagles were third in rushing, 13th in passing, 14th in receiving. Their defense was number one against the rush, and they just picked up Michael Bennett as well.
Yeah.
Against the pass, they were 18th, so their secondary was, like, pretty here and there.
Yeah.
Their key additions, they had Richard Rodgers, they added Mike Wallace, they added, yeah, like I said, they added Michael Bennett. So, they lost Torrey Smith, they lost Trey Burton, they lost a few people. They lost Mikal Kendricks, they lost LeGarrette Blount. But even based on, like, Thursday's game, I don't really see them changing too much. That was, in my opinion, that was a real boring game.
Yeah, but it was pretty bad to watch.
Yeah, and they even had a goal line stand and everything at the end, and it was still boring, at least in my mind. So, yeah, I've got them first. I just don't see a whole lot changing. They're a good team. They didn't lose too many people. They gained Michael Bennett. They gained Mike Wallace. They gained a lot more people that, you know, could help them out.
Then they lost, yeah.
Yeah. And they were only using their backup quarterback towards the end of the playoffs right there.
Yeah.
And just imagine what they're going to do when Carson Wentz comes back.
Yeah.
My second is the New York Giants. Some people have the Cowboys ahead of the Giants. I don't. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid here. Everyone overhypes the Giants so much.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're the New York team. Everyone loves talking about. Well, everyone loves talking about this division so much, and because it's
the most different every year. There's never like just one dominant team with it year in, year out.
Yeah, it's a 3-team division for sure. Unless you're a Redskins fan. So they were pretty mediocre last year. 26th in rushing, 19th in passing and receiving. Their defense was god-awful. 27th against the rush, 30th against the pass. They added Nate Solder from
the Patriots. Solidified that left side of the line.
Solidified that left, and they added Saquon Barkley. So they also have Odell Beckham Jr. back.
No.
And it's just
Sterling. Yeah, Sterling Shepard and Cody Latimer, I think, is their third receiver. So they definitely got the talent.
Yeah, and I'm just putting them second because one team has to be second. I'm not a big Cowboys believer at all. I think they didn't sign Dez Bryant. I don't really think they even used him too much last year anyway.
No, injuries for the season.
So I have them second. The Cowboys, just going right into it, they were second in rushing, 8th against the rush on defense, 12th against the pass. So their defense wasn't terrible. They were almost an overall top 10 defense. But 26th in passing, 27th in receiving. I'm not a big Dak Prescott guy at all. I think he's very overrated. Mm-hmm. And when last year when Sean Taylor went down, mm-hmm. that's his name.
You mean the linebacker?
Yeah.
No, I know
Sean Lee.
Sean Lee, yeah.
Okay.
And he's gone down pretty much like every year of his career at some point. It sucks because he's a really talented linebacker, but yeah, he can't stay healthy for the life of him.
No, and I don't think the offense is built to play catch up, because that's what kind of happened last year. They were falling behind in a lot of games, and it forced Dak Prescott to throw, and he
struggled.
He showed his true colors. So I'm not a big Dak Prescott guy. I'm a big Ezekiel Elliott guy.
You can't deny it.
He's the best player on the team for sure. But in terms of like Giants versus Cowboys, I think the Giants are just a little bit more talented. Mm-hmm. And then fourth is the Redskins.
Yeah.
I know they got Alex Smith, but in my opinion, that's kind of a downgrade from Kirk Cousins. I think Alex Smith, he holds onto the ball too much. He's so frustrating to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that game, that opening game against the Patriots. I don't know how they won that one, but mm-hmm. he just holds onto the ball, gets sacked. It's nuts. Last year, they were a big passing team, not so much rushing. They were 12th in passing and 10th in receiving, but they were 28th in rushing. So they're a very pass-heavy team.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the rest of this division is way too loaded, and it's a tough division this year. Hopefully it turns out to be. They lost Trent Murphy to the Bills. They lost Kyle Fuller. They lost Kirk Cousins. And their key additions were signing Alex Smith, Paul Richardson. They drafted Daron Payne, the defensive tackle, just to help against their rush defense, which was 32nd in the whole league last year, dead last.
Trouchous, yeah.
So this is a real tough division, and I think the Redskins would be last. I think Eagles just seem like the clear-cut winner, and then it's debatable between the Cowboys and the Giants, but I have the Giants. They just seem a little bit more multidimensional. So, what do you think?
I'm pretty much on the same page with you. I think until otherwise, Philadelphia is going to have that division. It was a brutal opening NFL game for the year with the Falcons and Eagles, but they won it. I mean, Foles didn't look good by any means. They also didn't have their deep possession threat and Alshon Jeffrey. So I think that did play a factor. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia's still my number one for that division this year. I think I'm going to go with the Giants as well at number two. And the main reason I'm doing that is because of Eli's experience. Out of all those quarterbacks in that division, Eli's been there the longest. He's seen all these teams.
Good point.
He's been to the Super Bowl twice now, won two Super Bowls. And I think even though people, and I might be one of them too, criticize him a lot, you got to think, when he lost Odell Beckham, I mean, who was his receivers last year?
They had like some king guy. Evan Ingram?
Yeah, Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard. I mean, I think Shepard missed a lot of time, too.
Yeah. I think Shepard went down for a few games. But they had that, I don't even know his name. His last name was King, right?
So, I mean, I think the Giants, the additions that they made will definitely put them in contention for that division. However, I think now that they have Beckham and Barkley now, teams can't just stack the box and like blitz all the time because they think they got Barkley. You got one of the best, if not the best, receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
With Odell's that you need to cover. So
yeah, they'll stretch the field.
I'm actually gonna go. The only thing I'm gonna switch is I think I'm gonna go with the Redskins at three.
Oh.
And the Cowboys at four. And my reason being for that is, I think Dallas's offensive line scares me a lot right now with all their injuries. And we know nothing about their passing game because, well, we know Cole Beasley and we know Terrence Williams. Outside of those two, Allen Hurns is their supposedly new number one wide receiver, and their rookie fantasy guy, Michael Gallup, I believe it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're saying he could be a breakout candidate, but in my opinion, I think teams are going to stack the box against Dallas. And just they know that they're going to run Zeke 15, 20 times easily. I mean, I would.
Yeah, into the ground.
Yeah, and their offensive line's got some pretty major injuries. I think they lost their starting center, I want to say, for the year or potentially for the year.
Oh, man. Sorry, I got it in the notes here. They lost Bryce Butler. They lost Orlando Scandrick. They lost Anthony Hitchens, Jonathan Cooper, Alvin Morris. Cooper.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I don't see guys here.
The only reason I, and to your point, I'll end on this note. The only reason I'm giving the Redskins the third spot over Dallas is because Alex Smith also has a lot more experience than Dak, and I'm also not really a true Dak believer. I think he's not overrated, but I just think he tries to force a lot of throws that just aren't there.
They're just not happening.
Yeah, and Alex Smith is going to be your, I think they called it like check down Charlie or something like that, where he's just going to throw it to his running back or dump it off to like a quick screen or something. But I mean, last year he was one of the top fantasy performing quarterbacks. I mean, for an overall team perspective about making the playoffs, I think he's got to take that next step forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I'll leave it as Philly, Giants, Redskins, and Cowboys.
All right. Okay, so moving on to the NFC North. I've got the Vikings. I think that's pretty obvious. Well, some people might not. I think there's some people that think the Packers are going to be first. I think there's some out there. However, the Minnesota Vikings are probably the most complete team in the NFL, in my opinion. They were 7th in rushing last year, 11th in passing. Let's see, 2nd against the rush, 2nd against the pass. Phenomenal defense. That's not really changing too much. They never really lost. They lost Tom Johnson. That's their only really key defensive departure there. So that defense is going to stay pretty much the same, and they're also playing the AFC East this year, and that is a pretty terrible
potentially offensive one of the worst division
too. Yeah. So I don't think they'll have any trouble, you know, stopping what Nathan Peterman, Sam Darnold, or Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they might meet their match with Tom Brady, but I guess we'll see. They picked up Sheldon Richardson. They picked up. And they picked up Kirk Cousins. Those are the two big ones. I just don't see a reason to put anyone ahead of Minnesota. I think they're the most complete team.
Yeah.
Okay. My second's Green Bay. It kind of showed last year. They finished the season 7-9 last year, but I think it's Aaron Rodgers or bust with them. They picked up DeShone Kizer. I think they traded away Brett Hundley.
Yeah. Kizer's the number two guy. I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, but a lot of that team revolves around Aaron Rodgers, and if he stays healthy, then
no.
I don't think they're as good as the Vikings, but I don't think that they can do any worse than the Lions or Bears.
Yeah.
Their numbers were kind of skewed last year because I think Rodgers is out for about half the year, so I think all their offensive and defensive numbers are going to drastically change once he's on the field for a full season.
Mm-hmm.
So they signed Mercedes Lewis. They signed Jimmy Graham. They also signed Muhammad Wilkerson to help out with that 17th rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they traded away Demaryius Randall. They traded away, or they got their, Richard Rodgers is gone. Jordy Nelson's gone. It's just, I think everyone does kind of overrate the Packers. I don't think it's that great of a team. To begin with, I think Aaron Rodgers makes or breaks that team. If they don't have Aaron Rodgers, this might be bold, but I think they belong in the NFC North basement, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I think they're a pretty overrated team just because it's the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Third, I have the Chicago Bears. I think they made some pretty key additions. Last year, they were 5-11, so not like, you know, they're not as bad as like what people would expect. Mm-hmm. At least looking at the team last year, I'm like, oh, that's a 3-win team, a 4-win team.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying a 5-win team is all that much better, but still.
It's an improvement.
Yeah, they were. Okay, so they were 32nd in receiving last year, dead last. They signed Benny Fowler, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, and Allen Robinson to kind of help out with that part of their offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that to take a big jump. I don't think they're going to be last again.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense was pretty good. They were 11th against the rush and 7th against the pass. They just picked up Khalil Mack. They just signed, or they just drafted Roquan Smith. Mm-hmm. That is a top 10 pass defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think many people even know about that.
No.
And they just picked up the best, or arguably the best cornerback in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say linebacker. So that defense is only going to get better. They might have the second best player in the division
mm-hmm.
with Khalil Mack. And I see them taking a huge step forward, not as much as Green Bay or Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think the Lions, which I'm just about to get into, is I don't think they really did enough to stay, you know, yeah. in second. They finished 9. Now, the Detroit Lions, they finished 9-7 the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're barely missing playoffs. However, they're 32nd in rushing last year. So they're very, again, a lot like the Redskins. They're a very pass-happy team.
Yeah.
And Matt Stafford is, you know, one of the better quarterbacks out there. However, their defense, last year, 18th against the rush, 27th against the pass. Not that great of a defense, not that great of a running game. It's a very one-dimensional team with Matt Stafford and Marvin Jones, Golden Tate. They really didn't sign anyone to help out.
Yeah.
They got LeGarrette Blount. They drafted Frank Ragnow, the cornerback in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
In the second round, they drafted Kerryon Johnson, right?
Yep, that's the supposedly out of Auburn. I think he's another guy that's looking to be a potential breakout guy.
Yeah, and well, hopefully they can boost up that run game, that dead last run game. But the Chicago Bears just look too good on paper for me to put them last again. I think they gave Mitch Trubisky way too much to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to bring them over the top, because that's a really good division. I'm not trying to, you know, understate the Lions whatsoever, but I think that's what's going to bring the Bears. So I got Vikings, Packers, Bears, and Lions. What about you?
I'm exact same way. I think Minnesota's the most, like you said, complete team in that division. One thing that I've read is Minnesota does have, like, a lot of their key players locked in for the next, like, 3 to 4 years. So that defense is...
It's going to stay good.
It's not going anywhere. So definitely Minnesota going number one. I think Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and potentially I can't remember the third receiver's name.
Laquan Treadwell.
Yeah, we'll have to look that one up. But
fact check.
Yeah, so I think Minnesota definitely number one. Green Bay to me is I don't want to say exactly like the Colts, but it's Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers dependent. Like they're the ones that are either going to be pulling them out of games or maybe their defense will step up and make some good plays for them. But until otherwise, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl with the Packers, and I don't see them being any worse than 2 in that division. Like you said, Chicago, I really think I think the big factor in all of Chicago's stuff is going to be the offensive coordinator from Kansas City, Matt Nagy, coming over as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he did with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Alex Smith as the quarterback.
Yeah.
I just think Chicago did put a lot of good pieces together to make them step up to at least be maybe third, maybe compete with Green Bay a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see Sunday night, but I think they have good pieces to not be last in the division again. And
right.
Detroit, it might be like a game or two difference, maybe like an 8-8 Detroit, 9-7 Bears or something like that, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But Detroit, to me, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I mean, this is Matt Patricia's first head coaching job. He was the Patriots defensive coordinator for, I think, at least like the last 5-6 years. And, I mean, I don't know if Belichick guy is going to produce like everyone thinks they're going to produce.
Yeah.
I just think Bill Belichick in general is the mastermind of like all coaches. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you about the NFC or North.
NFC, yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to the NFC South. This was like the toughest division in football last year.
Mm-hmm.
3 of the 4 teams in this division made playoffs. Now this could be like the biggest whatever like differences that we've had. I don't think we've disagreed on rankings.
Not too
at
much
all today.
No. Yeah.
So number 1 I have New Orleans. I think it's a no-brainer. I had the Falcons 2nd. Maybe I'll put them lower depending on what Carolina does. But for today, I'll put the Falcons 2nd, Panthers 3rd, and Buccaneers 4th. That might look like a lot of other people's rankings. The Saints, last year, they're 5th in rushing, 5th in passing, 6th in receiving. They're all at the top 5 offense. Their defense was better, but still mediocre. 16th against the rush, 19th against the pass. They're still kind of, that's a high-flying offense. They added Cameron Meredith. They added Benjamin Watson. They added Patrick Robinson on the defense. They drafted Marcus Davenport, a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I just don't, I'm looking at all the numbers from the other teams, and I don't think any of them come close, especially after what we saw with Atlanta this week. I think they're, which I have them 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go right into them. Their red zone offense is
atrocious. I'm surprised their offensive coordinator still has his job, especially this is like not his first rodeo. Like he's coming in from last year and one of the most inefficient teams to score in the red zone.
Well, that Eagles game was so frustrating on Thursday because they would not.
If you had Devontae Freeman, you must have been pulling your hair out of your head.
I was pulling my hair out because I have Devontae Freeman. But you're probably pulling your hair out during that 4-down stand right at like within the 5.
It's like
and
a game of
they didn't
Madden.
Even throw it to Julio at all. So.
It wasn't even in the game. I think he was in there like one play. And he,
like who's calling these plays?
To be honest with you, I think they need to reevaluate his offensive coordinator position because that was when you have weapons like that, it should not even be a question. Like you should be scoring easily, like first, second play. I won't get into it, but yeah, the OC for the Falcons, I would say he's on the hot seat right now.
I know. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he's been gone halfway through the season. If he continues to do what he's doing, and if they get help, I know the Eagles are a top 10 rush defense, and they were very good last year.
Yeah, but that's inexcusable.
It looks like they're very good this year. Matt Ryan does like to throw in a clean pocket, and that pocket was filthy.
Yeah.
But
well, that they have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. I mean, they have all returning starters, and I mean, you have a guy in Julio Jones, a freak of nature athlete, put up 10 catches for what, 170 yards or like, yeah. And he had a 10 yard rush in rushing yards too. So it was so infuriating, especially like just as a football fan to like see that, like you got four chances to score 1 yard out.
And you give it to Devonta Freeman all four times. I'm not saying he's a bad player.
No, but mix it up. They spread the love. They literally put everyone inside in the box and they had all their big guys in there. A defense knows, like, we're gonna send the house and the kitchen sink and we're gonna go for you. But yeah, I think he's the OC has just gotta figure his stuff out.
Yeah. And not to like bash the Falcons too much, I do have them second. It is a good division. However, maybe that's just me being a Devonta Freeman fantasy owner and just being a little let down. Second, I feel like I should give the Falcons a little bit more praise, but that's what's on my mind right now. Maybe you can. I have the Falcons third. They were fourth in rushing last year. Or they finished with a 10-6 record last year. Fourth in rushing, they were 28th in both passing and receiving. They were third against the rush, and they were 22nd against the pass. They have Torrey Smith now. They signed Jarius Wright. The key departures were Ed Dixon, Daryl Worley, Andrew Norwell, Star Lotulelei, Jonathan Stewart finally retired. This seems like the same exact offense again. I think Christian McCaffrey takes another step forward. Mm-hmm. They added C.J. Anderson as well, so maybe he'll be like the running back or the running.
Yeah, like not the pass catching.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. They just seem like they didn't really solve their. I don't consider trading for Torrey Smith solving their passing game. That's just my opinion, but I think that's going to be another issue for them this year. I think their offense will be pretty one-dimensional, even though they're 10-6 and their rush defense might bail them out a little bit. The Panthers are just don't seem any better than third. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are by far the worst in my mind. I don't think anyone has them not fourth in that division.
Yeah.
However, they were fourth in passing last year, second in receiving. So, like, surprisingly, they were a top three passing offense last year. I don't know who got the ball because Mike Evans, I think, had a down year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was their two tight end sets.
Oh.
Against the pass, they were 31st. And against the rush, they were 23rd. So, besides their passing and receiving, this is another terrible team.
Yeah.
I know they went out and got Jason Pierre-Paul to help out with the
D-line, yeah.
With the line. But I just don't really see them, you know. They added Ross Cockrell. They added Denora Searcy. They're signing people to help out with the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're effective enough to get them much better than 31st. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I got. I got Saints, Falcons, Panthers, and Bucks. So, with that said, who do you got?
Consensus, Saints first. I think the Saints defense finally is relevant over the, like, maybe past 5-10 years. They've been a very average, middle-of-the-road defense, but Rookie of the Year, Marshawn Lattimore last year as a cornerback. You got Alvin Kamara. You're going to get Mark Ingram back after four games. Drew Brees. It's Drew Brees. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think Michael Thomas is one of the best receivers in this league, too. I don't want to say he's underrated. I think he is rated pretty highly. But I think he is overlooked a lot. More in the sense that the Saints' running game last year just took off. Like, it just blew up because of Kamara.
Yeah.
But, yeah, easily, I think the Saints got that division. I'm actually going to go And I was debating this, but I think I'm going to go Carolina on number two right now.
Yeah.
And the reason being for that is I think Carolina is going to adjust to Christian McCaffrey's, like, abilities. I don't think they're going to run him into the ground like what I think one report came out said, oh, he's going to get 25, 30 carries a game. He's not built like that. He's not like a bulky like CJ Anderson, like you were saying, like you're.
That's also why they signed CJ Anderson.
Exactly, and that kind of brings me to my other point. Jonathan Stewart was out of his prime in Carolina last year. I think that's another big factor. Is everyone doesn't think CJ Anderson was a sexy pickup, but he's like that. That missing piece that Carolina might have needed for Christian McCaffrey, because Stewart, I just don't think was cutting it anymore. I think he's just out of his prime and
no, got some fresh legs in there.
Yeah, so
fresher legs.
And the other things that I do like about Carolina, even though they lost Andrew Norwell, who is one of the top rated guards in the NFL and went to Jacksonville, they have Julius Peppers. Still at defensive end. He's also getting pretty – he's up there in age. I think he's probably going to retire maybe this year or soon after because he's been in there. They also got Dontre Poe from Atlanta. He's a nice run-stopping defensive tackle to help that defensive lineup because I think Charles Johnson for them retired. I think he was a defensive lineman or defensive tackle for them. Yeah. But I think getting their rookie receiver, DJ Moore, Steve Smith, the ex-Carolina Panther and Baltimore Raven, he's like raving about him.
Yeah.
Saying that he's like exactly him when he was like first coming into the NFL. So I'm excited to see him. And for that, I'm going to go into Atlanta as my third team. It was pretty close. I would want to say like Atlanta has higher hopes on what we saw Thursday night. I think that maybe it was just a fluke.
Yeah.
But their defense to me still has really good pieces. Vic Beasley. I'm trying to think who else was there. Other linebackers. They have a couple good stud linebackers. I forgot, but. I think their biggest issue right now, and it shouldn't be an issue, is getting that offensive click. And remember when Atlanta, like, all the Atlanta players were just, like, the best players to draft. Like, Freeman was, like, a top 10, top 5 running back at some points. And
2015, he was a stud.
Yeah. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones were, like, the best combo in the league. And I think that one has to do with Kyle Shanahan. Left them and went to San Fran. But right now, that offensive coordinator, I think, is really the X factor in me putting them at 3 and not number 2 in that division right now.
Yeah.
I just think if Julio Jones put up 170 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champions, and you can't put up more than, I don't even think they scored, what, 12 points? Like 3 field goals or 4 field goals?
It was 12 points. And I think they lost 18 to 12.
Yeah. You're telling me you can't get into the end zone once against like a Julio Jones night of 180 yards. So
I am.
That makes me put them at number 3. And then, like you said, I think Jameis Winston is honestly stupid.
Yeah. And by the way, that offensive coordinator, I had to look him up. His name was Steve Sarkisian.
Steve Sarkisian, I don't think you'll ever hear this. Get your stuff together, man. Because you have some of the best offensive weapons in the league right now. And Calvin Ridley, I mean, this stud wide receiver out of
it. No show the first game. You could have it. I don't even think the camera panned to him. Yeah. Let alone the ball touch.
So yeah, that he truly is my X factor for me putting them at 3.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay, their backfield is a mess right now. I mean, they said Peyton Barber's like looking like the number one guy. I think that Jameis Winston, even when he comes back, he has done nothing to show me he's like the guy or the franchise quarterback that they need or want.
And yeah, sorry, just going off that, it doesn't even seem like he's shown it to the Buccaneers, because they even said his starting job isn't even secured. Like Ryan, he might come back and Ryan Fitzpatrick's still the starter. I think they're really frustrated with Winston.
If I was an owner for all the off the field issues that he's had, I'd be furious too.
Yeah.
But it's sad because they got some nice talent there. I mean, Mike Evans, I think he is also too one of the best receivers in the game. But when you have a quarterback that either can't feed him the ball or it's just not there because of off the field issues, it wastes that talent. So,
right.
I think they did do some upgrades defensively with, I think their first pick in the, or first round pick this year was a defensive tackle. I want to say out of Washington. I forgot his name, but he's like a huge guy, like a Haloti Ngata. Type of guy, like just big, bulky defensive lineman that'll help stop the run.
Yeah.
But until I see otherwise, yeah, Tampa Bay is going to be the last in that division for me.
Yeah, for sure. What was his name? I'm trying to find Vito Vea.
Vito Vea, yeah. Vito Vea.
The big old Hawaiian-looking guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll end with the NFC West. Last year, the Los Angeles Rams won that division. They went 11-5. I think this is maybe not the most improved team, but I think the Bears might have been the most improved team. But defensively, the Rams, who were 28th against the rush last year and 15th against the pass, they're already 15th against the pass, and they picked up what?
Marcus Peters. Tlaib,
Marcus Peters. They picked Ndamukong Suh. They picked up Ramek Wilson, Sam Shields.
They were really that bad against the run?
Against the rush, 28th.
Oh, my gosh.
Even what's his name?
Darnold.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, according to ESPN, 28th against the rush. So they got Sue in there. They were 8th in rushing, 10th in passing, and 11th in receiving. So that's a top 10 offense right there. Mm-hmm. And they just added Brandon Cooks. I think that they take Jared Goff even takes another step forward. It's another season under Sean McVay. I don't think anyone can stop him. I think it's a three-way race in the NFC with them, the Vikings, and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe the Saints as well. I'm disregarding the Saints. Yeah, it could be a four-way. I think
all
these divisions are just so top-heavy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the second I have the 49ers, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo finished the season with 5 straight wins. He's undefeated as a starting quarterback, I believe. Or at least
out of the 49ers. No, I don't think he's ever lost one.
Yeah, even with the Patriots, I don't think.
Yeah.
But with that said, he's going to have – if he's a starting quarterback all year long, I doubt the 49ers are going to go 16-0.
Right.
So, yeah. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's good enough to bring them to second in the division. Who knows if they'll make playoffs or not. They have a really tough matchup week 1 against Minnesota.
No.
I think
that's going to be a good game.
It is. Well, hopefully it's not a blowout.
Yeah, I don't think it will be.
People start doubting the 49ers because they had, like,
you play one of the best defense. Yeah,
arguably the toughest game on their schedule. And if they get, like, pounded into the dirt, everyone's going to be like, is Jimmy G ready for this role? And I'm not. It's bullshit. So last year, the numbers are, I would say the numbers are kind of skewed because they had Jimmy Garoppolo for half the season. They were 1,000 times better. But before that, they were trash.
Yeah.
They could still be trash. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe no one had tape on Jimmy Garoppolo until now. And now all of a sudden they do. And maybe they're trash all season. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I have them second for now. They signed Corey Toomer, they signed Jonathan Cooper, they signed McKinnon, who is non-applicable for the season.
Yeah, big loss for that style of offense.
Yep, they signed, they drafted Mike McGlinchey. Am I saying that right?
Yep, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame with their first pick.
Mm-hmm. And then they Then they signed Richard Sherman, so they can help out with the defense there.
Yeah.
I just think the other two, I mean, the Cardinals, who I have third, might give them a run for their money.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older team, but I think it might be a little bit more of a complete team. Maybe the Jimmy Garoppolo flash is still, a little too shiny, and I might, like I said, I might be drinking the Kool-Aid on it, but I have them second.
Mm-hmm.
I'll believe what everyone's saying. Third, I have the Cardinals, even though last year they lost David Johnson week one, so I'm not even going to count. They were 30th in rushing last year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to count that number against them at all, because their run game, not to have it back, is going to be 1,000 times better.
Right.
They were 15th in passing, 12th in receiving. This is going to be a whole new team because Carson Palmer retired.
Yeah.
They still have Larry Fitzgerald. They lost John Ross to Baltimore. But they still have, like, J.J. Nelson. They still have Ricky Seals-Jones, who was, like,
yeah.
I guess I don't think he was bad. I just don't really think they used him too much. And they just got Josh Rosen. So we'll see what he does. Sam Bradford's going to go down at some point this season. Mm-hmm. We're going to see. We're going to see Rosen there at some point. I just know it.
Yeah, I mean.
Quote me.
Yeah, put on the board.
Yeah, and so I have them. I think they're a pretty complete team. I wouldn't be surprised if they shocked the world and ended up second in the division. I might be a little higher on them than most people, but that's just what I believe.
I think that the Arizona defense that we've seen in the past years, it was only one preseason game, but that defense looked like it was flying around. Like it looked like it was like back to like what it used to be. I mean, you have arguably one of the top corners in Patrick Peterson. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he has had some regression in his career. I mean, I think he's up there in age too. But I think the defense should take a nice step forward this year.
Yeah, and they were already really good too. They were 14th against the pass, pretty middle of the road. However, they were 6th in rushing last year, or against the rush. So, top 6 rush defense. They upgraded, or no, they didn't upgrade, but they still got Patrick Peterson. They lost Tyrann Mathieu, but maybe their offense can help them win some games, because that's a multi-dimensional offense,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's pretty underrated.
Yeah.
Fourth, I have the Seattle Seahawks. They might be the worst team in the NFC. People hype them up like crazy.
Yeah.
I can't stand when these analysts or beat reporters or whatever hype up certain teams in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
I think they hype up the Giants way too much. They hype up the Cowboys. They hype up the Packers. And they hype up, recently, the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, Russell Wilson, he's just going to get it done. And
with,
I think
with Russell, what, Doug Baldwin?
I don't even know his status right now. But if your ankle is injured before the very first preseason game, and there's no timetable for your return, that is not a good sign. How is there no timetable for Doug Baldwin's return, and the preseason hasn't even started yet?
I think they said he even admitted that he's going to have to play through this season with some, like, pain or some.
He did that last year, too.
So, I mean, well, put the his injury outside of that. Who else do they have that's going to help them at Paul Richardson?
No, he's gone.
Jimmy Graham. I mean, you had arguably one of the best freak of nature tight ends in the NFL.
Didn't even use him.
Yeah,
barely used him.
Well, he was touchdown or bust. I mean, this is me coming from a fantasy perspective, but
yeah,
I mean, you didn't utilize him. I think Luke Wilson is.
They got Tyler Lockett, and then they signed Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, and look, everyone was on the Brandon Marshall train last year for the Giants because Beckham went down, and they're like, oh my gosh, like his stock went
through the roof. Well, like I said, they overhyped the Giants like crazy.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that they overhyped because it's New York, and all the focus is on them and the Cowboys or anything, but people are starting to like doubt Dak Prescott or whatever. The Cowboys or the Giants are so overrated. I know I have them second. If I don't have them making playoffs, I think, well, I'll get to that later, but I think the Seahawks, they might be worse than the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I really do think so. Their only good player now is Russell Wilson. their defense that was sixth against the pass last year.
Completely different.
And ninth, it was already 19th against the rush. They lost Michael Bennett. Cliff Averill retired. Cam Chancellor retired. Yeah. Earl Thomas is holding out as of
filming this video. I think he might play today, but I mean, regardless, I mean, he's coming to a point in his career too where I think it was neck surgery or something. He had major surgery in his age too.
Yeah.
I mean, their big draft pick was Shaquem Griffin. So and he's starting.
And their run game, but their run game was god awful last year.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch saved that team in 2013 and 14 because he was just such a monster.
Yeah.
That offensive line was garbage then. It's garbage now.
Yeah.
And they're just lucky that they had Lynch because if they didn't, they'd be stuck with the people that they have right now, like C.J. Proceise or Rashad Penny.
Yeah.
Or like they're
Chris
just,
Carson. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've heard he might be like an up and comer, but I'll believe it when I see it. Like he might be a good player, but with that offensive line, like I might be underestimating the Seahawks to an extent, but there's no reason. And the defense, they lost Richard Sherman, they lost Sheldon Richardson. Yeah. Please tell me how they're going to be good.
Yeah.
What about you? What are you here for? By the way, I should say this. My phone just rang. LeSean McCoy will not be charged this season.
Oh, really?
Just now.
Don't have enough evidence. Fantasy-wise, whoever stole him in maybe the second or third round, I mean, good for you. Yeah. But there's no way that they're not going to have enough. Like, that girl's face was – it looked – terrible. Like how is no one going to get accused for something like that? But
someone's got to do something. But apparently McCoy won't be charged. So, getting back to him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to break it up.
McCoy just caught a break, but I would probably say I'm actually in total agreement with you too. The Rams, in my opinion, they did the best offseason acquisitions defensively to help their cause. You have the best defensive tackle or defensive lineman in the NFL with Aaron Darnold and now Ndamukong Suh. I think their run defense is going to improve tremendously. Marcus Peters, he was a stud in Kansas City. I mean, I know he had some like antics that Kansas City might not have liked. Sean McVay, I mean, he's a genius. I mean, he took a god awful team from the 8-8 Jeff Fisher, and or 7-9 Jeff Fisher, and turned it into a division winning team. So, I think Jared Goff is definitely going to keep moving forward as a quarterback. But number two, and this is where I was actually thinking about maybe considering Arizona at number two and not San Francisco, is I think San Francisco's defense has a lot of holes in it that need to be addressed. I know you got Richard Sherman at cornerback helping that out. He's coming off of a ruptured Achilles injury. He's also kind of like the Legion of Boom age-wise. I mean, I don't want to say they're out of their prime, but I would say Sherman's probably getting close to, like, he's not going to be your lockdown Richard Sherman best corner in the NFL anymore. So I think their defense, I don't know their linebackers. I mean, Reuben Foster, I don't know if he still got the gun charges against him. I'm not sure. Solomon Thomas, that was their number one. Pick out of Stanford. Yeah. I don't think he really made much noise last year, and I don't know his status, but I think their hope is Garoppolo. Literally, their hope is Garoppolo is going to be the protege from Tom Brady that everyone hopes he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Marquise Goodwin is a good receiver, but in my opinion, he's he's not going to make a team like the best team in that division receiver wise. I think he's not like a difference maker like a Larry Fitzgerald or maybe a Mike Evans or just like that true number one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Bills fans know it. He's an Olympic track star. The guy is freakishly fast. That's great and all, but are you going to chuck a bomb up to him every single play? I mean, that's kind of where I want to see him maybe take a step forward this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go with San Francisco still at number two. Arizona, I think getting Sam Bradford was clutch, because even though he has his injury issues, he's been in the league multiple years. I think he's got like a cloud over his head because of being in the Jeff Fisher system when he was with the Rams back in his career. When he was playing in Minnesota,
he wasn't bad.
No, I mean, look at what Minnesota went through. They lost Teddy Bridgewater. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was good.
Went to Sam Bradford. They went to their third string quarterback,
Keenum,
and whoever the quarterback's coach was, or the maybe the offensive coordinator for Minnesota, they should get a pay raise because you literally went down. You went down the depth chart. And now look at their whole situation. All three of those quarterbacks are gone.
Yep.
And they got I'm not sure if it was just free agent move. I think Bridgewater and Bradford were free agent moves.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Keenum was a free agent move to Denver. I can't remember.
Yeah, he was.
So long story short, I think Bradford has one of the best receivers ever to play the game in Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk, their rookie receiver, haven't heard much about him. You got another top running back, David Johnson. He's always going to be a guy, if you're getting blitzed, you can trust and dump it off to him. And like you said, at number four, I'm sticking with Seattle too. Russell Wilson can be Houdini as much as he wants and like do all the spinning and like pulling a play out of his.
He's all they got.
He's literally all they got. And to be honest with you, if I were him, I'd be scared for my health because that offensive line, like you said, they might have made one or two moves this offseason.
It's like Swiss cheese.
It's, and like I said, outside of Doug Baldwin, please tell me like who your weapons are because I don't know any other relevant Seattle player outside of like Doug Baldwin and supposedly Chris Carson or Rashard Penny.
Yeah.
So, that's what I would leave off at.
All right. So now that we have it all done, we'll go through our NFC playoff predictions. And then you had the Chargers in the Super Bowl in our AFC episode.
Okay.
Correct?
I believe so. I kind of second guessing myself if I maybe really should have picked the Chargers.
Okay, we'll go
with the Chargers, yeah.
And I believe I had Jacksonville winning.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll predict our winners for the Super Bowl in this episode as well.
Okay.
My six, I have Minnesota 1, Philadelphia 2. I would put them at 3. However, they're playing the AFC East. So I have them second.
That can be a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I have the Rams at third, Saints fourth. That's just my order, but you could switch these around, these four in any order, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah.
Now the wild card teams are where I thought it would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the Packers fifth, and then the sixth, it was between 49ers and Giants for me, mm-hmm. Maybe Falcons. But I have the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
But so my first game, the 49ers visit the Rams, and I think the Rams just completely shut them down. I think it's going to be a very tough year for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw to anyone.
Yeah.
Like Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, anyone that secondary is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They just lost McKinnon, so it's going to be
Matt tough Breida. Road.
They're going to make it a very one-dimensional offense, but I do think Jimmy Garoppolo has what it takes to at least get him to sneak into a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a good year. I'm choosing the Rams over them. And I've got the Packers visiting the Saints. I think that could be a shootout. Both defenses are pretty mediocre. They're very pass happy, both these offenses. I can see Rodgers and Brees getting into a shootout.
Yeah.
But I just think that the Saints have too many weapons not to win.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers are good. However, the Saints have Ingram. They got Kamara on the ground. The mm-hmm. Packers have Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Maybe Ty Montgomery. They cream them there.
Yeah.
They're run, like, the Packers are a little bit more one-dimensional for me. Their secondaries for the Saints, it's going to be Michael Thomas. It's going to be Cameron Meredith. I forgot who they picked up on the tight end, but I just think that's a little bit better than...
I think it's Ben Watson still.
Ben Watson. Yeah. I think their receiving core is a little bit better than the Packers, even though I'm high on Davante Adams this year.
Yeah.
I think Michael Thomas is a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? However, in New Orleans, I have the Saints winning.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the number four Saints
mm-hmm.
visiting Minnesota again.
Another rematch.
However, I think Minnesota is just too tough this year. I don't think it's going to be as close as last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was like a miracle, the Minnesota miracle, yep. or Minneapolis miracle, whatever they want to call it.
I don't think they can, yeah.
I think it's not going to be as close as last year, and I have the Saints losing that. I have the LA Rams at Philadelphia, and I want to have the Rams winning it. Because I just think they're a good matchup against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Eagles have many offensive weapons,
mm-hmm.
and I think that the Rams defense could shut them down.
Yeah.
Who knows what the Wentz offense is going to look like by then, but if their wide receivers are Jeffrey and... Jeffrey and who? Ertz?
And, Zach Ertz and then... Nelson Aguilar and Mike Wallace, yeah.
I think that's a good matchup for Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, and I don't think, you know, they got Sue and Sam or Donald there now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to swallow up Philadelphia. I think that's a good matchup for them, and this might be just another Philadelphia 18-12 game. Who knows? But
yeah.
And it would be cool to see a Wentz-Goff playoff game.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
So I've got the Rams winning there. And then the NFC Championship, I got the Rams visiting Minnesota. I think Minnesota would take it just because that place is going to go wild. I think it's the best team in the NFC. I think it's the most complete.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a really good game, but I think Minnesota's defense is a little bit better than the Rams, even though the Rams are a bunch of studs.
Mm-hmm.
They've got studs on both sides. That might be a really good matchup for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, then that might be the game of the year.
Yeah.
So I have Minnesota winning that. And I'll just leave it off with you. So I have Minnesota winning the NFC.
Okay.
And what's yours?
So I'll say record-wise or seed-wise, I think I'm actually going to go with Saints number one. So I think the number one reason why I think that is because I think this year the Saints are going to not throw the running back or the running game heavily as much as the first portion of the season with Mark Ingram out.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because you cannot kill Kamara like the first four games of the year and expect him to produce like he did last year with that split backfield. I think he's the best double-headed monster in the NFL. And I think Drew Brees took a step back with how he can perform, but it wasn't because of his injuries or anything that we know like health-wise. I think it was just because they had such a great running game that they were able to just take the load off of it more.
Yeah.
I think that defense is just across the board a lot more improved. You got the returning rookie of the year, both offensively and defensively.
Yep, that's right.
So I think the Saints scouting has done a phenomenal job, and I forgot who their picks were this year, but I'm going to go Saints number one. I'm going to go Minnesota number two. So that would be the NFC South, NFC
North. You're looking North. For East and West.
So East,
what did I say? You had Eagles.
Eagles. Yeah, I'll put the Eagles at number three. The reason for that one is because Nick Foles looked very shaky the first game of the year. It was a home game coming off the Super Bowl high almost. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they had the jitters or whatever it was. But to me, like, the Falcons are a very good team. I think they do have all the pieces there that they need.
Yeah.
And they were just in the Super Bowl too.
Yep.
So, but for me, like, depending, we don't know anything about Carson Wentz yet. We don't know anything about Alshon Jeffrey coming back. I think Philadelphia is still, like, one of the top teams in the NFC. But I think that's a big if factor of, like, record-wise, can they produce without those key players right now.
Yeah.
So
you got the Rams fourth.
I got the Rams fourth, and the reason for that is because I think the NFC West, to me, their division games between each other, like the Rams, 49ers, Cardinals, and Seahawks, I feel like those games are always, like, split down the middle. Like, Everyone up against each other is, like, 1-1, or it's very close. Like, it's never every single year. It's, like, they 2-0, 2-0, 2-0.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to kind of affect their record with the Rams is I know they had a great year last year. San Francisco's taken a big step forward with Garoppolo. I think they're going to give them a run for their money. Arizona, too. I think Arizona's going to make that division very competitive. But I still ultimately, and for all we're saying, these records in the NFC, they could be a difference of one or two games for the top four seeds. So,
for sure.
I'm going to go with the Rams at number four. I think the Panthers are actually going to take a step forward this year. I really do. I think that everyone forgets. I mean, Carolina and Denver, that was like the defense Super Bowl when they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Cam went to a Super Bowl. Everyone, I think, overlooks that. I mean, we bash his mechanics of throwing and stuff, but the dude's one of the, like, complete quarterbacks in the NFL.
For sure.
Can run, can throw, just maybe inaccurate at sometimes. I'm going to go Carolina at number five. And believe it or not, I'm going to say what happened last year. I'm going to put the Falcons at six. I think that NFC South division, I don't see too much regression besides the Buccaneers where they're just really bad. I don't see anyone from the NFC East really giving it a run. I think the Giants and maybe the Redskins are like 8-8 teams, or they're improved teams, but not like a wild card contention.
Yeah.
I think Green Bay, like you said, it's a Rodgers or bust year. It's like if he's there and he can pull wins off, then great, so be it. But Green Bay's defense, I don't know off the top of my head what they got. But I just think across the board, like both sides of the ball, I think that the NFC South kind of outplays them. And they also have to play Minnesota twice a year.
Yeah.
In Chicago, too. Now you got the best defensive end or top second defensive end coming at you twice a year.
Yeah.
I think Green Bay's at a point now where they did re-sign Rodgers, but they got to address the ball on the defensive side, I would say, and that
for sure.
To make them competitive. So the first...
You got the Falcons visiting the Eagles.
Oh, God. I'm going to go... I have to go...
Is there going to be an upset this round?
Playoff time... This is me assuming Carson Wentz is healthy. Alshon Jeffrey's there. You got the experience. I'm going to go Philadelphia. I mean, it's the Falcons have gone there twice.
Yeah.
Opening week this past week or opening game. And the playoff game last year. And they just had the most god awful play calling in the red zone.
Oh my god!
And they just couldn't get it done. So
yeah,
until further wise, I'm gonna go with Philadelphia. So then I got my
Carolina visiting the LA Rams.
I'm gonna go. Because Atlanta beat the Rams at home last year, right?
Yeah, they did.
And went into the. I'm actually gonna go Carolina.
Oh,
yeah, big upset.
First upset. Yeah,
yeah. I think Jared Goff, regular season wise, I think he's gonna be a good quarterback.
Yeah,
Cam has the advantage playoff wise, but. I think it's going to be a very, very low-scoring game if this ever happened, because I think the Rams' defense and Carolina's offense are just – it's going to be like a
– mismatch?
Yeah. It's just going to be a tough, grinded-out game. And,
yeah.
I think Carolina's got the nice experience, too, of, like, going to the Super Bowl already. So.
Yeah, and – yeah, true. So, in the divisional round – you've got Carolina visiting New Orleans in a divisional
game. I'm going to go New Orleans.
New Orleans?
Yeah, that one I'm pretty confident about.
They just have this, the Panthers number.
Dayward, yeah, and then Minnesota against Philadelphia.
Yeah, in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Eagles fans won't have the ability to yell and scream all night like they did this past year.
I'll go Minnesota. I think that Minnesota New Orleans matchup again was I think that was one of the coolest games to watch.
For sure.
And I have the Saints as my number one.
Yeah, you have Minnesota visiting New Orleans for the NFC Championship game. No one ever said this was easy.
No. Give me New Orleans. I don't like doing the number one seed, but I think the Saints are just hyped up. This Drew Brees isn't going to be playing too much longer. Yeah. So.
Okay, so.
I think mine was Saints Chargers.
You have Saints Chargers in Super Bowl 53, and. I'll just go with mine first because I was kind of thinking about it while you were talking. You have LA Chargers and New Orleans. I have Jacksonville and Minnesota. Now, I have Jacksonville and Minnesota probably have the top two defenses this year in the league. So I think that it's all going to come down to offense because I think that's like – I think the defenses are almost going to cancel each other out. I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think it'll come down to the offense. If both defenses are just so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either of them are going to let up.
Mm-hmm.
However, looking at the offenses, there's one offense that is just a little bit better or just a lot of it better
mm-hmm.
than the other. And I think... Blake Bortles and company and whoever they have on their receiving core, Keelan Cole, DD Westbrook, Moncrief, I don't think that's the same caliber as Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph. They've got Latavius Murray, who didn't have a bad season last year. They got Dalvin Cook.
Coming back,
they got multiple options on the run game and their passing game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I just think it's a more complete team. The Jaguars are very good. Mm-hmm. However, I think their Achilles heel is their offense. Mm-hmm. And I think they're finally exposed in the Super Bowl. But they make their first Super Bowl, and I have Minnesota winning their first Super Bowl. So that's mine. How about you?
Let's see.
Chargers, Saints.
Same. Yeah, I mean, if the Chargers, I'm kind of regretting picking the Chargers because I feel like it's like one of those New York Giants, Cowboys, like everyone hypes them up every year. And
yeah, you think the Chargers are getting a little too overhyped this year?
Well, I think they do almost every year, but I guess my thing about them this year is they have a healthy team for the most part. I think losing Hunter Henry did take a hit on them, I think eventually Antonio Gates, he's old, but you want to know what? He knows Phillip Rivers. He knows that offense.
Yeah.
I think at some point he's more of a security blanket for Rivers, because if Mike Williams, their first round draft pick last year, stays healthy, I think he could be a huge X factor for that offense this year. I really think that offense this year is going to be like electric.
Yeah.
And the defense, like I said, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, you got those two guys flying at you every single play. You're going to feel the pressure defensively.
Oh yeah.
Jason Verrett, I think the cornerback's name for San Diego. I mean, Bills fans will probably hate remembering that game, but Peterman did not forget about that game after leaving San Diego.
No, he still has PTSD from that game.
So I'm actually going to go. This is, believe it or not, the cool thing if this ever happened was.
You got a Rivers-Breeze Super Bowl.
You got a Rivers, Rivers-Breeze Super Bowl. The former backup for Breeze and Phillip Rivers and taking over his job. So I'm actually going to go with the Saints. I think the reason for that is I just think Drew Brees is on his last stages of his career.
Yeah.
I think this would easily solidify him as, I mean, he already is, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think that having Ingram, believe it or not, I think it's a blessing in disguise with them. Yeah. Having Ingram out those first four games, and then I think their bye week is actually week five or week six this year.
Yeah.
So you get a healthy Mark Ingram, bearing any setbacks if he doesn't do anything stupid, for like a good more than half of the regular season without him getting like all bruised up and stuff. I mean, I just think they have so many weapons on that team right now. And defensively, I think they're definitely a top contender. So we'll see. But yeah, I'll go New Orleans over LA.
All right. Well, that'll do it for 2018 NFL predictions. You have New Orleans topping the Chargers in Super Bowl 53. My Super Bowl 53 is Minnesota besting Jacksonville. So that'll do it for episode 2. Thanks for coming on again.
It's been an
thanks
honor.
Thanks for analyzing some more football with me. And what's all the outro stuff again? Hit the like button, subscribe if you like it. Thank you to everyone who's listening. I really appreciate all the support, all the positivity. The video on YouTube's doing way better than I thought, even though it's not viral or anything by any means, but I appreciate every little thing that everyone's done. So thanks a lot. And we'll just see how our predictions.
It starts today.
Let's go.
We got an hour and a half.
Yeah, so in about an hour and a half, all of our predictions are going to be exposed.
Yeah,
so
let's see it.
Yeah, so, okay, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll sign off. Thank you.
All right.